I love that Yasmin just loves the acronym cat pee. I adore that. You didn't know that coming in?
I did.
Okay.
I didn't think about
okay,
it.
Yeah. Until you said it's cat pee. It's the most unfortunate acronym.
Do it for the cats.
Do it for the cat. We do it for the cat. Kevin, we'll do the intro.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so we're coming back in time right now.
Okay.
For the listener, we know what we've talked about. They don't know what we've talked about, so now we're going to talk about it right now.
Okay.
Because they're going to come out before the episode, or before we start. Here it is. Hi, folks. This is Tobin Allen here, host of Comedy of the Pub. That's Cat P to you and me. The guests are real. The pub is fake. I got that backwards, but anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, we're in our 16th season, and this is a delightful, delightful guest. Hard to Google, great to listen to. You want to go by Kevin or KVNE?
Either or works.
Introduce yourselves, fellas.
I'm KVNE.
Okay.
You can call me Kevin, I guess, Todd.
Okay.
And I'm an artist.
I'm glad we're finally getting this out of the way.
Yeah.
An hour and a half in. That's great.
Yeah. Okay. Normally, I'd make you buy me dinner before that.
Okay. All right.
I'm Solomon. I'm Kevin's manager. So.
By the way, we made it through this entire episode, not one Better Call Saul reference.
Yeah.
Love it. Tell me that you, how many times do you get that in a day? I'm going to say 20?
Anyone I introduce myself to, pretty much.
Uh-huh.
Every day.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Every day, I just love you picturing new ways to strangle the life out of Bob Odenkirk. Yeah, just, I'm going to kill him. KVNE, Kevin, to you and me, not the Christian radio station, you have a fantastic single, Make Me Better.
Thank you.
Which we play at the end of this episode. You're going to have to wait, people. it's a wonderful track. And I'm so happy that you're here. You got tour dates coming up in August.
Mm-hmm.
I also have shows coming up, I think, in the next little while. Is this something I could have done? Tell the lovely folks about some of the things we talk about on this episode.
Well, we talk about cat pee.
Yes, we do.
We also
we're completely vainglorious about that.
We talk about the history, how I got here.
Mm-hmm.
Traveling from touring bands, the metal scene, the death of the metal scene.
Yes.
We talk about some other unknown artists, and hopefully
Loops.
You guys, yeah,
we talk about Loops. Big Trouble in the Recording Studios.
Yeah, yeah,
Big Trouble.
The process of the creative.
Yes,
Uh
huh.
Mm-hmm.
And Hamilton and Cambridge get a shout out.
Yeah, Cambridge.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah, Toyota.
That's right. Toyota, other brands of automobile are available.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you listen to this episode. He's absolutely a delight, as is Saul. They're lovely.
Better
lovely,
call Saul.
Lovely, lovely people. don't call Saul. He's off-put by that.
Yeah.
The next two Write 'Em Up shows are Saturday, August 18th and Saturday, September 15th. The last one we did just happened, and it was absolutely delightful. For those of you who don't know, and I'm getting confused looks around the table here, allow me to explain what Write 'Em Up is. It is a stand-up comedy type show that I host, where I bring in five of Toronto's best comics. They come to the stage, they do 7 minutes of material. While they're doing that, I have a team of writers at the side that are writing roast jokes about everything they do, say, wear, whatever, on these little index cards. And then I dismiss the comedian, and then I read those cards to the audience verbatim.
That's awesome. Providing
anonymity and emotional distance for the writers.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. It was fantastic this week. By the time this comes out, the cards that we put on the fridge when something's really good, we call it on the fridge, and we just kind of put it up there, like when your kid draws, oh, it's a turkey hand, is that thing. So we do that, except we put them on our Facebook page.
Great.
Which is Write 'Em Up with TVA. You can find us on Facebook. Enough of this rambling along. Let's get to this. Kevin, Saul, me. Here's the music that starts the whole thing. Enjoy. Like, have you heard of, anyone that goes on tour with Pest, you guys?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I met a few people. We actually, one of the bands I was in a long, long time ago, we had a bearded dragon that traveled with us.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, what was the band? If we've got a bearded dragon in the van.
It was a metal band called...
Okay. Let me guess. Bearded Dragon. I don't know.
No. close. Okay. No.
The mascot.
We were called Juggernaut, but it was terrible. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a bad idea because the heat lamp.
Right.
Was draining batteries.
Oh, sure. Of course it was.
Obviously. Right. We thought it was super practical to drive around in this like A-team designed van from like the early 70s that was like, it had like a bar fridge in it and a bunch of other things that were draining the battery drastically.
Right.
So the van lasted about 2 days.
Uh-huh.
And then we had to cancel the tour.
Sure.
Finance a new vehicle.
All because of this goddamn dragon.
And the bearded dragon named Tyrone had to find a new home. So,
Tyrone!
Tyronean.
Oh, beautiful.
Tyronius.
Yeah. Tyronius.
Yeah.
I then picture you just kind of like at the side of an en route parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
Just trying to like Breaking Bad your way out of this with like a hand crank generator. Get me all the nickel that you can.
100%.
It's like, meanwhile, they sell batteries over here at the Canadian Tire.
Yeah.
No, we have to do that. Should I remember Juggernaut?
No.
I think I do, though.
You might. We had a pretty good run. We did about a year, all in all.
Uh-huh.
But we were formed within a bunch of other touring acts that had kind of, like, disbanded at the same time.
Right.
So all of us individually had, like, a little bit of a status in that scene at that time. So for us to get on, like, bigger tours that were coming through, like, we played on Summer Slaughter.
Right.
We played on, there was a bunch of tours with, like, some of the bigger bands at the time, like Born of Osiris, All Shall Perish, Suicide Silence.
Right.
And stuff like that. So we had a lot of opportunity in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we were touring, we were together for about a year. We probably spent, like, 6 months touring.
Right.
Yeah, that was back when I was, like, 19, though.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's been
how
a long
old are
time.
You now?
I'm 26.
Okay. Oh, so way back when.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's been a while.
Wow. That 7 years really does fly. Yeah. I love when you kind of come across like bands that you sort of forgot about. I will walk to Second City from time to time, and I get one of my shots is like the Velvet Underground.
Okay.
Or the Bovine. Yeah. You get like those marquees and you just look up and go, holy shit, they're still around.
Yeah.
Like there was one, I think it was the Exploited came to town. They're like an old UK punk band, right? And by now they're like really old, right? And so all I saw was like these guys, basically it was a mix of project managers and guys who still committed to the glue spikes.
Oh my gosh.
And just tried to shoehorn their way into their jacket with all the patches on it.
Oh my gosh.
And just the hull integrity is not going well.
No.
It is just like, they are ready to like anger Hulk their way out of these
right
things.
Out of that
and just, it's so awful.
Jeez.
I love the ones that take you by surprise. Do you guys remember? Okay. If you were, if you're 20, 27, you said?
26.
26? I didn't mean to age you.
Close enough.
There is no way that you will remember this, but I'll throw it out there anyway. L.A. Guns.
Can't say I didn't.
No? Okay. So they were a hair metal band from the 80s, 90s,
okay.
Right? And they had a couple of singles. That was it. I have not thought of them in years. Coming back from the airport one day, we're like coming down Bloor through Etobicoke, and I look over at like this bar called The Rock Pile. L.A. Guns.
Is playing. Oh, my God.
And I'm like, that would be the equivalent of Whitesnake.
Yeah.
Just suddenly showing up.
Playing at, like, a corner bar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? And I go, it can't be.
Yeah.
Right? And so I'm Googling it, and I find the, you know, it's LAGunsMusic.com and tour dates. And it's got, like, Whiskey A Go-Go, L.A.
Oh
Whiskey
God.
A Go-Go, L.A. Rockpile, Toronto. It's like, you got to be kidding. It used to be a Kelsey's. Like
they're playing at an Eastside Mario's,
right.
like
you like more breaths
halfway through the set, like oh my god!
Well, it's the all you can eat salad. That gets you know that or a nice minestrone.
Oh, I can't go wrong.
The if you could go see a band now, like bring them back from like tour and or the dead, who would you do?
Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin?
100%.
No question?
No question.
Oh, I like Cobain.
Yeah? See Nirvana again? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like Cobain.
Yeah?
I can see that. Yeah. I don't know. Bobby Vinton. No. I would love to have seen Joy Division.
Yeah.
Before all the horribleness. But like them or even Talking Heads.
Ooh.
You know? Because like, and here's the one. R.E.M., but only the first three albums.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally.
I would like, you can go as far as Fables of the Reconstruction or Reconstruction of the Fables.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it, though.
Stop.
Yeah.
Just stop. I don't need to hear Shiny Happy People.
No.
I don't need to hear Stand.
I know. That's the worst. Somebody will be like, oh, I've got a huge vinyl collection at home, right? Oh, I've got some great records here for you. I've got some great stuff. I've got some good REM stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I go over and look at it every time. Yeah. I'm like, you know, the collection's pretty full at home right now. Yeah. You know, so
out of time, automatic for the people, whatever the new one was, like that.
100%.
You must run into this as well, like when you get people who, like my wife admittedly, like whenever we're talking about music stuff, like she's like, that's on you. That's on you. Because, like, when I was a kid, I dedicated time and effort to curating, you know, my now outdated references for music. But I still enjoy trying to figure out sort of, like, new stuff and stuff like that. And I love trying to be able to hold a conversation now. Like, I'm not awful. Like, you know, I'm pretty sure I know who Beyonce is.
Pretty positive. Well, punk.
Yeah, just a little bit. You know, I'm sure with very cursory research, I could figure out what's wrong with Lil Wayne. I'm sure of it. But I love when you get into like, do you ever get into this where like you start talking with people like, oh yeah, I love that brand of music, and then like two words in, you go, no, they don't.
Yeah, I know, 100%.
Right,
it happens a lot actually. Especially because I'm also an audio engineer.
Right.
I run a studio.
Uh-huh.
So when I'm like...
You want to give it a plug? Which studio?
Well, it's just a home studio in Hamilton.
Oh, okay.
But when I'm working with artists, they'll come in and it's a new artist I've never worked with before. And I'm trying to get an idea of the sound that they're trying to go for.
Right.
And they're saying like, oh, I want to sound like Lil Wayne, and they're like
right.
on an R&B song,
right?
And they're like they're singing, and it's right. like, are you sure? Like,
send the rest of your bluegrass combo home, then.
Yeah, like you're here with an acoustic guitar,
right?
I need sound like Wayne.
Yeah,
right.
Let's turn the autotune up. Get it saucy.
I had the radio on at one point, and it was some station that my wife and I would both find palatable. And she's typically very good. Like, we can listen to Indie 88 and get some other stuff. But, like, we found this, maybe we're in a cab or something like that. And it was Ed Sheeran, whom she likes. That's fine. Enjoy it. You're a woman. I get it. But he had one song where he had both a banjo and auto-tune. And I went, pick a lane, okay? You can't have both, okay? Like, there should be a toothless guy beside you with a jug.
Yeah.
Or 18 people dancing in bikinis. Oh my pick a lane, right? What from an audio engineering side, how do you find, that must help you when you're producing your own stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely, 100%. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Saul knows, he's my manager, but he's also a part of my creative team.
Right.
And normally going into any song, we all have a really good idea of what the vibe that we want to capture is.
Right.
So, I mean, like, it's a lot
you
less.
You sound like Lil Wayne. I get it. That's right.
You know, we just crank that autotune up. And,
that's
you know,
right.
But no, it's always pretty, like, everybody's always pretty much on the same page.
Okay.
Even with, like, bringing in, you know, guest writers and stuff like that, everybody's kind of... all kind of got a general idea. I mean, like, it's not like we're like just shooting at, you know, like space, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we've kind of found a sound, and now it's just kind of like refining and honing in on it. Right.
Right. Do you find like when you're recording, like to talk about that sound, are you, because when I think of like music producers, I find they kind of go into like kind of two kind of branches where you find a producer that has a specific sound type. Like I look at like Steve Albini of like one of those guys who just like when you have an, like, you know, two notes in.
Yeah.
Oh, this is Steve Albini.
Exactly.
It's bordering on unlistenable yet pleasant. Like it's like it's that. But then when you have someone like a Trevor Horn or something like that, who's able to sort of find something that's in a band and elevate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And go like, oh, that's the thing that we want. Like how do you find that balance? Do you go in with a specific, if you're coming to me, it's going to be this way, or do you listen and go, that's the thing I want, that little three beat there?
Yeah. Well, it's normally the second. Normally when we hear any production, it's normally there's something that's jumped out at us, or something that sparked a melody or a line or a lyric or.
Right.
And that's, or even like a pocket flow, you know what I mean? There might not even be words, but you know, like how you want the,
how we want my voice to sit on top of this production specifically. Right. And then it's just kind of, like I said, just kind of like defining what that is and mm-hmm. then refining it and making that the main structure.
Right.
I think that's like how we made Make Me Better. Like, we had the concept and then we just put on the first beat and it just worked perfectly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite thing in the world is when you, there's kind of two ways. It's like one where you sort of like, you listen to a body of a producer's work. And you just go kind of like album by album, you listen to them that way. You go, oh, there's the common thread, mm-hmm. right? I even heard, side note, I heard of a friend of a friend who, my buddy went over to his place and looked at the wall and went, what, how are these sorted? And he was like, by producer. And I'm like, oh, aren't you interesting?
Wow. What a hipster thing to do.
I know, right? It's fun when you like when you listen to or like watch a director, you know, do music videos, and you're just like, okay, so you get the vibe of what they are, but they're different, but there's a thread that kind of follows through. The other thing I love is like when you take an artist where you have the body of the work, mm-hmm. and you just throw it to a bunch of producers. Like one of my favorite albums that I just came across by chance, it was Sarah McLachlan, but she threw her songs to a whole bunch of electronic artists and just went, go nuts.
Yeah.
And so one of the best things on the planet is Rabbit in the Moon doing, I think it's Plenty or Obsession. It's one of those two.
Okay.
And when you just like, when you hear like what it is that they grab onto,
mm-hmm.
that is funny. Like, what is it for you? Like what will bend your ear when you go, oh, that's fun.
It's
like,
just,
what is that?
It's just the vibe, honestly. It's mm-hmm. just that, because, like, a lot of the time when we're hearing, like I said, like, when we hear a production, as soon as, like, I feel like we always know, you know, like, mm-hmm. when you hear that right instrumental or you hear that right melody, even, like, sometimes just off of a piano riff, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? You can just tell, like, this is the one, you know? Like, that's normally how it works, you know?
Right.
Like, and once you feel it, it's just, like, the song normally writes itself.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you just, everybody gets on that same wavelength mm-hmm. and sometimes it's like a 30-minute thing, and then you're just sitting back being like, how the hell did we create this in 30 right. minutes? Like, you know, like, this might be the best thing we've ever done. And
right.
then, you know, the next session you end up topping it, and the yeah, next exactly. session you top it. And,
right.
But no, it's just that groove, you know? That's mm-hmm. why it's so important having a core team, you mm-hmm. know, with creative nowadays, because, right. you know, like, there's no shame in bringing other writers in. In my mm-hmm. opinion, that just makes sure, like, that just proves the point that, like, you want your music to be as good as it can be.
Right.
You know what I mean? The same way that, you know, a producer probably won't mix and master their song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's somebody else who's going to be able to do that better.
Right.
You know, you just have to make sure that you pick the right person
mm-hmm.
that can share that vision with you and bring that to fruition.
Right. It's like, I just bought his album the other day. Damn. Kendrick Lamar? Kendrick Lamar. When you look at, like, the people that he kind of threw onto that album, it's like, you too, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's probably my favorite song on the album. It's like, it just is
you that. You connect with that.
I can, well, not with you too, but like, did you ever like you too?
I don't know. I like the edge. Sure. I'm a guitar player, so I love the edge.
Of course. Right? Who doesn't like a nice repeater? But I get that. Like, I totally get, like I used to like him when in the 80s, cause you had to, you know, it was the law, you know, welcome to the 80s. Here's your copy of the Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
Enjoy your life.
Now they're just putting it on a phone.
Who asked for that? Right. Let me pick. Like, this, if this is an iPhone, I get to decide what bullshit is on my phone.
Oh my God.
By the way, I am totally distracted by your knuckle tattoos because I know they spell devotion,
yeah.
but your right hand has Devo, which is my favorite band of all time.
Jeez,
so
there you go.
The evidence is right there beside you.
Oh, so, I see this. Yeah. I see this.
Yes. So, yeah, I'm just going to cut off your right hand and just mount it in here. Yeah, that's a trophy. Yeah,
you know? Some Zoolander.
One of those African safari style trophies. Yeah. Like, everyone's got like a rhino head. I've just got, you know, a hip hop artist's fist.
Just my
you
know, hand.
Just like,
casually sitting
weirdly,
there.
He doesn't like Devo. That's the weird part. That's why I took it from him.
Oh, jeez.
And now you can go by DJ Stump. That was off-putting. Listen, What's like? Where do you find? First of all, let's go back to kind of where you start. Where'd you grow up? Are you a Toronto guy yourself?
Or? No, actually, I grew up in Hamilton.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait a second. A heavy metal artist from the Hammer.
Yeah.
Mm.
Believable?
Nope. Of course. Yeah. Like there's some like a good history of rock bars there, right?
Yeah, a lot, and a lot of really really good bands. You know, mm-hmm. what I mean, a lot of great musicians and artists. I mean, like. The Arkells, they're from Hamilton.
Right.
And then like going to like some of like the smaller bands that were huge influences for me, mm-hmm. in a little bit of a heavier scene, a band called The Reason.
Okay.
You might be familiar with them.
Yeah.
Then there was some bands like a band called Dead and Divine.
Okay.
And Straight Reads the Line. These were kind of like metalcore bands,
mm-hmm.
but, Silverstein from Burlington, mm-hmm. You like know those guys personally too.
Right.
Alexis on Fire.
Right,
of right. course. So I mean, yeah, like, yeah. there's been like all of that. They all kind of hail from that general area,
right?
You know what I mean? Whether it be St. Catharines or Burlington or mm-hmm. Oakville, but like that whole scene was so tight knit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like we were sharing rehearsal spaces that they were using and mm-hmm. everything else. So then when we end up on the same show, it was just like a big party. Mind you, I was like 17 years old with a fake ID. So
right.
I mean, like things were a little bit more limited.
What's the statute of limitations on that? You're fine. You're yeah. fine.
Eyes to the eyes. He's fine.
Right this way, sir.
Yeah. But no, so I was there. I grew up in Hamilton. I was there mm-hmm. probably till about 16.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the bands I was in at the time called the Oxford Street Montage.
Okay.
We picked up a little bit of traction and we started touring.
That, by the way, is a, like, what is the inside joke there?
Jack the Ripper.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it wasn't as much of a joke as like the music was really dark.
Okay.
So
the Oxford Street Montage. Yeah. That is fantastic.
That's where they found like his house with his montage of all like his victims.
Oh.
Like the walls were just like covered in like home photography mm-hmm. and like really weird shit.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah,
fun.
Yeah, it was
pleasant.
Yeah,
your publicist is going, oh dear, you'll cut this, right?
Yeah, no, my mom was like so disappointed.
Of course she would be.
You know, like it's so
unless
disappointed.
Unless she appreciates serial killers.
Yeah,
you know.
But we actually strayed away from the full name,
putting down the biography of Jeffrey Dahmer. You could have been someone. And then pours herself another martini.
She wasn't too much of a fan of that.
Right.
But no, we did well for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We locked in some pretty cool tours and it was a lot of fun mm-hmm. at the end of the day. I was a teenager and I did that, did another metal band after that for another few years. And then I ended up in Cambridge when I was 20.
Right.
As
many do.
Yep. Yes. You know, Toyota, casually. So at that point I was kind of at like a crossroads because I was at that age where all my friends were either like, you know, just finishing their post-secondary education to pursue like a career or
right.
have a family or mm-hmm. so on and so forth. And I was kind of like, I don't really want to do like the whole band thing anymore. Mm-hmm. And as far as like musically, it was at the time where like urban music had started to overtake like rock.
Right.
So you would go to a show and there used to be 250 people there. Now there's 12.
Right.
You know, and mm-hmm. the band is the same band.
Yes.
Still a Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, like music was changing. The scene mm-hmm. was changing, right? So obviously I was like, you know, like it's curveball. Like let's see, right. let's figure this out, right? So
what? So both of those, like when you see sort of like the influx of hip hop coming in, those are like, say, like Cambridge and Hamilton. Hamilton is a larger city, but mm-hmm. certainly not, you know, the largest one in Ontario, but like it's got a good size. What did you start to see sort of a gradual, like more and more hip hop clubs opening, or like how gradual was that transition?
Well, it wasn't like wasn't
Cambridge, especially.
It wasn't
thinking.
Gradual at all.
Okay. Like, it just sort of came.
Yeah. Right. Like there was the main venue in Cambridge was called the 515.
Right.
And we played there with like countless bands and stuff. And when it closed, it was just like nothing ever came back.
Right.
And still there is no venue in Cambridge for like bands to play,
mm-hmm.
you know, like that was the spot.
Right.
But like, as far as like the artists and everything like that, it was just like overnight, it felt like,
mm-hmm.
you know, like everybody was in a hardcore band and everybody was like, you know, like going on tour and their Instagram would be like tour mode and their FaceTime, Facebook would be like tour mode.
Right.
Everything like that. Everyone, you know, getting tattoos, wearing cut off jean shorts and ripped up Vans and like, You know, like living in the back of a van, van life. You know what I mean? And then over,
which is the nicest humble brag you can put out there.
Yeah, you know,
I'm on a tour. Please come see it.
Yeah, like, I'm on tour. We're not getting paid, but come right, hang out.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But then, you know, like it felt like overnight, everyone's just like from van life to studio life.
Right.
You know. Hashtag hip hop artist. Hashtag home studio.
Right.
So I was like, yo, I'm going to hop on this train and start audio engineering because mm-hmm. I'm broke and I can't afford to pay for recording time.
Right.
So I invested the little bit of money I had into recording stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I read the manual for the first DAW I had back to back like 8 times before I installed the software.
Right.
And I'm not even kidding. Solid scene. The box is still in my studio.
Right.
And there's like a layer of dust on
it. Right, right.
It was a Cubase 4 or something from like 1996 or something. Just insane. But
install guide for Windows 95.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's what? Like if you have Windows Vista, you're too far ahead. Like,
back that shit up.
Yeah, really. But no, so that was where it all started. And I was blessed because... you know, like just from being in the music scene and you know, kind of establishing myself a little bit as an artist in the city that like people kind of gravitated to me
right.
When I started to identify as more of like an audio engineer and a producer. Mm-hmm. And it was like no time. It was like, I remember like the day I installed that, finally took the plunge and installed right. that DAW. like that next week I'd already taken like some production jobs.
Right.
You know, to start like putting together instrumentals for rappers and stuff like that.
So, right. That's fun. Like, and it, that is more a testament of sort of like where we are now, just in terms of like every sort of form of entertainment, because like the gutting of the way things used to be really started in the music scene when audiophiles could go, hey, I'll just take that.
Yeah.
Right. That said, I saw a stat the other day, the number one, either artist or metal artist that made money last year or like recently was Metallica. So, like, even so, they were railing against, like, file sharing and stuff like that. They're still making money. I don't understand that. I could be misreading everything. There's absolutely no truth in anything I have just said.
The metal band to get in the most debt
right,
last
exactly.
year.
Maybe Metallica. That was it. That's right. The biggest, hey, do you remember when? You know, it's those guys. But no, it's like the ability to be able to sort of do things yourself. It gives you the freedom as an artist to do that, but it also creates an obligation as an artist to do that now. So like you're no, the sad part is that it's all on you now, but the good part is it's all on you.
Exactly.
So you are, and it forces you to become a mini expert in what you're trying to do.
100%. And that's kind of what coincides with the point I was making earlier about having a team.
Yeah.
Cause like, if you're going to try to worry about everything and try to do everything, then you're not doing any one thing at 100%.
Right.
You know what I mean? Everything is going to get like 50%, 60% of your time or your energy or your, you know what I mean? Your mental attention. Like, so it's like being able to delegate and being able to be like, this is what I'm good at. I'm identifying that. I'm going to do this. You know what I mean? And having somebody else that you can trust and confide in to be like, I'm going to back you on this side or I'm going to do this for you or I'll take care of that for you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'm extremely grateful to have everybody on my team. You know, I have a great group of people helping me push my music and build my brand and everything else.
Right.
So.
Right. That's the other thing we got now. Everyone's a brand.
Yeah.
Right. The big nod from the publicist. Yes. Very much a brand. I love that notion of having your own studio, but like it's funny when you say that, like, cause we did the same thing here. Like podcasting was basically that where it just went, let's record stuff. Like I can't imagine needing to go into a studio that isn't here.
Right.
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 Yeah. Here's the thing though. I have a question for you cause this drives me nuts. When I go into like to do some voice work, right. And, there's, you know, you go into it's the professional studios like Eggplant or, you know, Tattoo or something like that, right? They got the, you know, the I call it sushis and cell phones. That's all you see is like the production team and like all the execs and the ad people and stuff like that. And they just make you do 5 takes and then you're done. And you hear them splicing it together and then you go, boom, there's your commercial, whatever the hell it is. It's like, oh, congratulations, you're great. And you go away. when you record at home, how many takes do you stop at because you think they're all bullshit? My record's 38.
Oh man,
I can't. I think we're not using tape. I will sit there and go, nope, not that one. Yeah. And then I don't know what it is. It's like as soon as I'm home, I'm not. It's my time versus someone else's, so I am just like bloop gup. Okay, sorry, yeah. No, that's it. Well, I can't say the word Honda. Like, I don't understand.
The words start losing meaning.
Yes.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. I mean, like, truthfully, I think we've kind of actually we've made that process a little bit more efficient now. But at the end of the day, it's kind of like whatever it's going to take to get it sounding right.
Right.
You know, like with other artists, I'll act like as a vocal coach.
Okay. Right?
So I'll like help coach them through the phrasing, or like we'll break it down and we'll do like a couple lines at a time and right. anything like that. Because like
by lines you mean blow? I get it. That's it.
that's for after the session.
Oh, okay.
That's for after the session.
No, you gotta do it during. You know what this needs is more treble.
But no, it's all about just like. You know, I find the way you're going to get the best result is by making everybody feel comfortable.
Right.
Right? So it's like if people want to just
go. Oh, then don't use blow.
Yeah. If people want to go all the way through the song and then have me splice it together or comp it together or anything like that, like that's totally up to them.
Right.
You know, I'm just kind of all in it for like everybody to have the best experience because like you've seen those studios. It's not a personal experience when you're in there.
No.
You know what I
mean? No.
So like, and I've worked at those studios. And I've been that guy who's like, you know, like trying to be like, hey man, so how was your day? And people are like, oh, like they get like thrown off.
Right.
They're not used to people like talking to them like a human being.
I'm not used to polite.
Yeah. I'm not used to talking. Like, I'm just here to sing the words off my phone.
Yeah.
Like, turn the auto tune up. Like,
right. So. It's like, meanwhile, like, you know, the studio manager is like, yeah, we don't talk to Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so I don't know. I just want to make everything a positive experience for everybody, you know.
I think it was my second commercial recording I was doing. It wasn't the first, but it was like definitely like within the first five. So I'm still green at this, right? And I go in and it is like it's, you know, cell phones and sushi. That's all you see. And I'm going through, the director is I'm sure you do this in studio where you just like, okay, hang on, and then you mute the conversation that's going on in the booth.
Oh, so 100%.
The artist doesn't hear it.
100%.
And it's like, boy, this is a bunch of fucking bullshit. Okay, yeah, just you're a little flat on that opener. So the director is like going through this line that I'm saying, and we keep going over this line. This one line read is like, yep, okay, can you hang on a second, Todd? And then I look, the conversation's going on, and they're talking to the writers. Like, I figure maybe they're going to have a line change or something like that. And then this big guy, this like kind of like you could tell he was like he was the older gentleman in the room. Obviously, he was the guy in charge.
Okay.
Right. And so he stands up and just starts fucking screaming at people.
My God.
Just like he is pointing at every single fucking person in the booth. He's pointing. He's pointing at me through the glass. He's pointing to the clock, and he's just like his face is just like Hulk. Like just Hulk green, like just like that, like the carotid artery in his neck is just kind of sticking out like garden hose, and so he just and so like he finally sits down, and the papers kind of flutter their way to the floor, you know, after all of that, and the director just kind of sits there and goes, and I hear him come on and go, okay, Todd, could you go up at the end of that sentence? I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah.
like, because it's the best? Thank you. That's exactly what we wanted. Thank you. That's it.
You like run to your car.
Right, exactly. I'm just like, please just grab the check and leave.
Yeah.
There's no check. It has to go to the reactor. Have you had like bad experiences like that in the booth?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Yes and no. I mean, like, there has been situations where, like, and it's hard, too, because I've done, like, a lot of guest vocal spots.
Right.
Like, for other artists, whether they're, like, hip-hop or like, R&B or whatever.
Right.
And it's weird, too, because we do songwriting. So we'll record ourselves singing, like, a submission for an artist.
Sure.
And then, you know, like, you'll end up hearing the final product, and it's like, on Spotify or whatever, and I'm like, yo, like, Saul, that's my voice. Like, my voice is still on the song.
Right.
I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
But it's more of, like, the situations where, like, I'm in the sessions with the artist because it's, like, you don't really know. You know, like you said, like, you're in that booth. the mic's not on. They're all talking, and you see one person showing concern, and
right.
everybody else is just kind of like, you know, body language, and you're just sitting there like, fuck, I really got to piss, but I don't want to go out there. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, I don't know. I mean, like, we've had a couple of crazy situations, but for the most part, like, everything's been really good.
Right.
You know, we've been really blessed.
Mm-hmm. So you may have had this situation where it's not your project. You're giving to them, and then they're just going to... You're giving them the ingredients, and they're going to make the meal out of whatever you
give. Oh, 100%, right? Yeah.
So there are times when I have been in the booth, and I just do a line read, and I'm like, myself, I can hear it. I go, that's wrong. I flubbed that line. Mm-hmm. You know, I had like a little stutter in the middle.
Like, that's a wrap. Perfect.
And they're like, yep, we got that. And like, no, I can do it better. No, that's fine. That's fine. And so like, and now it's on the radio, and like every time I hear it, I hear that like that. It's like...
Yeah, I've been there too.
Which is why I'm Toddy 10 takes at home, because I have nothing. I can't, you know, like, I have no sense of edit. Jeez. I have no sense of edit. But
no, yeah, we've been there a couple times too. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, especially with like voiceovers and stuff like that, like, I'll be mixing a song and the artist will be like, oh, like, can you add a high harmony on this?
Sure.
You know, like, I send them the reference, and I'm like, they're like, oh, I love it. It's perfect. I'm like, okay. And before I can say, they're like, okay, let me put a final mix on it and I'll send it back to you and you can release this. Right. It's just online. You know what I mean? I'm like, great. You know, great. Stands out a bit, but
yep.
No, you got to just roll with the punches though. Yeah. Cause every opportunity is always gonna bring something, right?
Mm-hmm. What is it about the mixing process that you like? Because that to me, I think, because my brother kind of DJs as well and produces his own music. And so when I watch him, he's got like, I don't know, something. He's got like the, he's got the two fake turntables that now plug into like iTunes.
True.
So you do that. And then he's got like some form of MIDI keyboard thing. This is me being hip and current. And he produces wonderful music. Like, it's great. He's on SoundCloud. If you want to find him on SoundCloud, he goes by the name He Speaks in Math.
Okay.
And it's lovely loops and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He always throws in some cornball, like, garage rock from the 70s at the end of his songs.
True.
That's the stuff I hate.
The drum solo. Like,
yeah, we don't need Lynyrd Skynyrd in there. True. Can you just yank that? So, but, like, watching him kind of, like, find that, like, when he gets that loop and he just goes, ah, that's the thing I want.
Yeah.
And throws it in there. Like, that's, like, how do you find that process for you? Like, when you're finding, like, sort of the backbeat or the thing that you're going to make the spine or, like, you know, the stuff that you're using for dressing. Like, where are you cataloging these things?
It's, I don't know, it's kind of just in my head already.
Okay.
It probably sounds silly, but it's kind of like, you know, how they say, like, an artist just, like, looks at a canvas and they can, like, imagine how they want everything to be and they just put it together. It's kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, obviously, like, I try to keep everything templated, so, like, it makes my workflow more efficient.
Right.
There are, like, some go-to sounds and plugins and, like, effects and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, a lot of the time I just hear the song, and, I mean, like, I don't know, you've seen it. You know, it just happens. You know, I just kind of go through the song from start to finish, pick this, pick that, do this, do that, and then it starts to take shape, and then I just work off those ideas type of thing.
Yeah. Fatboy Slim, he's a guy that when you listen to a lot of his stuff, you go, oh, I've heard this one before.
Yeah.
Or it's like that, but it's mutated a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think they put out like an album of this is where he gets 80% of his references. And it was just like those songs that he kind of like yanks stuff from.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just like little audio clips that he uses and stuff like that. Yeah. Do you ever get really jazzed when you're in the outside world and you hear a sample or the loop of something that was in a song that you like, and I go, oh my God, that's it! Like, I'm wondering where it came from.
Yeah, all the time. I mean, like, the other day we were working on a song, and you know the sound that Yoshi makes when he dies?
Yes.
Yo!
Yeah?
It was in a beat.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, and Saul's like, yo, do you know what that sound is? Uh-huh. It's like, it's Yoshi. I'm like, no way! Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then we're like, you know, all ripped in the studio. I'm just like, right on, man! Fucking Yoshi! You know, like 2 a.m.
Right.
Like, completely didn't even write a song. We just talked about Yoshi for
the Right.
I mean, super productive.
Uh-huh. I had that with, I don't know how I came across it, but it was a cover version of Oye Como Va by a steel drum band in Jamaica.
Jeez.
Okay. Stay with me. And they had this one roll that went, da-na-na-na-na, da-na-na-na. And I was like, and when you hear it on the steel drums, you go, fuck, that's Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God. God, like there's that. It's like, you know, as soon as I get those things. I was watching with no longer my girlfriend at the time. I was watching Das Boot with her. It's a submarine film, right? Got to watch that, you know. And that could be why she's no longer with me. And there's a. Have you ever seen the movie?
No. Oh,
okay. Do you like submarine films?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Wait, there was that one Steven Seagal one that was dope.
Oh, okay.
Where he's like, I'm Under Siege 2.
Under Siege 2.
Yeah.
That's right.
Tommy Lee Jones.
That's right.
That was a great film.
Roadhouse. This is not dissimilar to that, except instead of Steven Seagal, it's Germans. and so they hit this thing where like the captain of the U-boat is screaming this command, and I stop everything. And my girlfriend's like, what? I go, this. And I go scrambling into my CDs. She's like, my stack of CDs. That's right. And I'm just like flipping through. She's like, what are you looking for? And like the time is going on, going, are we going to finish this movie? Go, give me a goddamn second. Yeah. And so like, I'm just, because I'm so obsessed on this. And I find it's off of the Front by Front album by Front 242. And they sampled it in Rhythmus Bleiben, which is one of their songs. Jeez. And I was like, that clip, listen to this and then listen to that. Yeah. Listen to this and listen to that. And she's like, oh, great. And no, don't you get it? That's awesome. She's like, yeah, yeah, it's fun. Great.
She's okay. Like, okay, I'm putting the movie back on now.
My favorite person samples Ric Flair.
Yeah, yeah. We sample a lot of Ric Flair.
Oh, do you?
Nature Boy. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, he's pretty much like our family at this point.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Have you met him?
No.
You should.
No. He's our family. We never met him.
Yeah. We share a connection. We share a connection. And it might result in a restraining order.
So, but and then we start playing Sarah McLachlan's Obsession by Rabbit in the Moon in the background. Brings it all together. No, that's the Sick Dogs.
Yeah.
That's the Sick Dogs.
Like,
song.
That's like the go-to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or in the arms of an angel.
In the arms of the angel. Yeah. And just like, as soon as you hear Sarah McLachlan, you're just like, okay, how many puppies am I saving with this pack? Okay.
Who's hungry? I'm buying him.
Who's hungry? I had another situation of that where I was homesick and my wife came home, and when I'm homesick, I just start yanking out the DVDs going, okay, no Netflix or anything. Let's go old school. And I start watching Sopranos.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
About every 18 months.
You just have to watch it again.
I just go and I watch it again because you have to because great.
Well, yeah.
And I found out that I could, if I hit fast forward on the opening title, it would play it at 1.5 instead of the regular 1, the title track of Woke Up This Morning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So when you play it at 1.5, because it's compressed, it's not like, it's not taking the same, they've just compressed the sound, they haven't extended it.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes this breakbeat song.
Yeah.
Like, oots, oots, oots. Yeah. This whole one. Yeah. Like, I'm like, holy shit! Yeah. Like, oh my God! That's good! And so, face it, I'm medicated, right? Okay, so it's way better than I think it is, right? And so my wife comes home, she goes, how are you feeling? I go, you have to hear this! And I put it on, and woke up this moment. She looks at it, looks at me, turns around, walks upstairs, and just like, not even a word. You don't understand the greatness of this!
That's how Lil Wayne makes hits.
Right.
Same remedy.
Just that what he does?
The cough syrup, a little bit of Sopranos.
Right.
Gets all excited.
Speed it up.
Yeah.
Speed it up.
Just turn it up.
What is your favorite sample that, like in any song out there or your own? What?
I love like when people sample like 8-bit.
Oh, yeah.
To be honest, like it's a Drake song, Fake Love.
Okay.
And there's like a sample in it from Super Mario.
Right.
And I love it. Like, it's just like the jumping sample, like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yep. But, and when he's like hitting the coin boxes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But no, like, I don't know. I just, it reminds me of something. It's so fun.
Right.
You know what I mean? So even if the song is like a serious, you know, serious concept or anything like that, it just like lightens the mood.
Right. The first band I ever heard do that was a band out of Scotland called, semicolon open bracket. Because if you looked at it, semicolon open bracket, it's just like the winky sad face somehow. Sure. I was like, right. And they had sampled in like 8-bit Nintendo sounds and stuff like that. But there was also a few years after that, What happened? What happened? What dropped?
Sunglasses.
Oh, no.
Not the shades.
Not the shades.
Most important part.
Now, yeah. Now your future's not bright. That joke was for me. I picked up this, it was an entire album of Depeche Mode covers all done in 8-bit.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's cool, but it's like eating an entire cheesecake.
Yeah.
It's just...
By the end of it, you're probably just like, yeah, it's too much.
It's too much. So I want to go back to this transition of you. So like when you started getting into hip hop and started doing that, who were your influencers at that point? Like who on the scene at that point were you like, this is what I like?
Geez. I mean, like it was right around the time when like production kind of started changing too. Cause like think about like hip hop instrumental. It was always very like boom bap, you know, like,
right.
Like thick bass lines and stuff. But then we were kind of like starting to merge over to like one shot 808s and like, honestly, I gotta say like 6'7" by Lil Wayne.
Okay.
Like when that song dropped, it was just, I was just like, this is like what? Like,
right.
How is this even possible? It was just so much energy in one song. And it was like 2.5 minutes long.
Right.
You know? And I just remember playing it like over and over and over again. And like that was definitely a record that was like, I need to figure out how to make production like this. You know? I want to shake speakers like this song does.
Right.
You know what I mean? But Lil Wayne was a big inspiration. Machine Gun Kelly was a big inspiration.
Okay.
An artist named Black Bear, always been a big inspiration. But yeah, it was always kind of like, and the more I like look at like the stuff that started me, it always kind of felt like these people were also like musicians or at least instrumentalists as well, whether they played like a piano or they also made production or, you know, like some of them played guitar and stuff. And I started to feel like that was my connection to it all.
Right.
From like playing in so many bands and playing a bunch of instruments. Like,
and then you're seeing them going, oh my God, they can do this. They do this. I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like if they made that merge, you know what I mean? I think I could too. But it was, to be honest, it was the engineering that was really, drove me. Cause it was like over the years, like I'd been playing in bands since I was 13. So I was like, I'd probably spent like tens of thousands of dollars on recording songs.
Right.
You know, spending time in studios and, you know, paying for engineers and then paying for somebody to come in and mic a drum kit and everything else. And it's like, it all adds up so quick. So once I kind of started getting a little bit of clientele, it was like, how can I make these songs sound like radio good?
Right.
And that was kind of where like, that was where like things really started to change because, you know, like then it's not just about how I'm mixing the song or how I'm recording the song, but it's also like the quality of what I'm recording.
Right.
You know, so helping coach the artists through, you know, like a singing part or helping them with a flow or with a different lyric or anything like that. And that was kind of what like made me be like, I should be doing this stuff, you know? And I obviously like I was on stage when I was just a kid playing with like big bands and like you get that energy, you know? And like, I never lost that. And I never lost like the drive to get that.
Right.
So it was kind of, I think like subconsciously, I was just waiting for the right time to be like, it's time for me to focus on my music again.
Right.
And that happened probably about a year ago now.
What was the first hip hop song you heard?
The very first hip hop song I ever heard
that you liked, that you went, oh, this is something. Because mine was, someone told me, hey, you should probably buy Public Enemy, and I went, hey, sure, you know. So so the first one that just turned my gears, and I just went, oh, now I understand. Because before that, it was like DJ Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince. Like, you know, it was like, it was the Fat Boys.
Yeah.
It was, you know, Run DMC, who had been out there before. And like, I like some of their stuff, but like, it never kind of rang with me like Public Enemy did. And I hated when they got together with Aerosmith. I just loathed that.
Yeah, it didn't do much for
me. Took a while to come back to them. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
But as soon as I heard, You're Going to Get Yours. First song, first side of Yo Bum Rush the Show. I was like, oh, now I get it.
Yeah.
And that has sort of like, that sort of impression of what hip hop is and what it can be has totally flavored sort of like what it is I like about that hip hop. So it's like a lot of Eric B. and Rakim, a lot of KRS-One.
Yeah.
And now these days, Kendrick Lamar and
the lyrical stuff.
Yeah. I love the lyrical stuff. I love the stuff that fits to a rhythm as well. There was an Herbalizer track, and they brought in, and I always screw up their name. it's Latrix or Latrix or something like that. They do a song called 8-Point Agenda.
Not familiar.
And it's just two guys finishing each other's sentences the entire time. And they're like they're just completely synchronized, and then they come together on a word, and then they back up, and then like literally they have broken up the verse so systematically and so rhythmically that they know like, oh, this is my strength here, I'm gonna play this, and then this is gonna do this. It's amazing. And then you've got the, just this jazz beat going on behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic.
That's
so
awesome.
Like that's the sort of stuff I like. So what was yours? I'm just waiting for him to say DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Honestly, I think it'd have to be it was definitely Biggie Smalls.
Okay.
It was either Give Me the Loot or Kick in the Door.
Right.
And I remember like I was like 13 or 14.
Sure.
And it was like one of my older friends who was like 16 just got like their mom's van for the night.
Right.
And then we were like driving to the beer store to wait outside to get somebody to buy beer for us. And
I remember you.
And no, we had this song on, and it was one of those two. It was on somebody's like iPod mini at the time.
Sure,
yeah. And I just remember being like, I was like known as like the band dude, right? So like they put this stuff on me like, oh, Kev, you're not gonna like this, but I just fucked with it so hard, like inside and out, you know? It was so aggressive and just like, it was just angry, you know? Like, I was in metal bands, so it was all about that, you know what I mean? It's capturing that emotion, but like, these songs were so real and lyrically, it was just like talking about all the coolest shit, you know?
Right.
It's Biggie Smalls, like, nobody has a better voice, I don't think.
Right.
You know?
The one that made me kind of think about that crossover between like metal and hip hop was obviously Anthrax and Public Enemy when they did Bring the Noise, and I was like, it never occurred to me that there could be that overlap. And then I just thought about it. It's like it's a very strong rhythm driven music, usually quite politically active. You know, there's not a lot of songs about puppies in the metal world. But there's a lot of aggression to it, which hip hop has as well. I mean, and it's nice that they can kind of blend that way. And as soon as you saw that marriage, I was like, that's cool. That's very cool.
100%. No, I mean, I remember Linkin Park and Jay-Z did a thing. And I mean, I wasn't really crazy about that, to be honest. But it was weird because even my metal bands towards the end of it, you know, as obviously hip hop and urban music started becoming a lot more mainstream, we started finding ourselves jamming along to a song or even pop stuff. You know, we had covers of a Katy Perry song, California Dreamin' or something like that. Yeah, and it was like a metal version of that.
Sure,
you know.
I love that shit.
Yo, the kids.
The kids
that shows, because everybody knows the words to that.
Whether
you're playing a city and nobody knows any of your music, everybody's gonna vibe to this one. Everyone's gonna fuck with this one, right? So, yeah, we had a Backstreet Boys one. Yeah, we had some good times.
I love nothing more than a good cover.
Yeah.
Love nothing more than a good cover. Who is it? There's a band called the Hextalls, which are like this three chord, picture Green Day, but hockey based. They sing songs about hockey players and poo. Like, that's literally all they do.
God.
And they have a cover version of We Belong by Pat Benatar.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not. And I'm listening to the album, and the song starts off and go, this sounds vaguely familiar. And then they knock the chorus. I'm like, oh my God.
Okay.
We belong to the night. We belong. There's, holy shit. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Jeez. Wow.
Love it. Love it. If you could cover any song, what would it be?
Since I've Been Loving You.
Okay.
By Led Zeppelin.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again with the Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Again with the Zeppelin. That wouldn't be that hard.
It wouldn't be that hard, but you got to think too, like you said, you love a good cover.
Sure.
What's the key word in that sentence?
Okay.
A good cover.
Cover.
Right? So it's like doing it properly, right? So you got to do it well.
Right.
Don't just hop on it and be like,
right,
yeah, I'm just going to sing the song Robert Plant did. Because chances are you're not fucking Robert Plant, buddy.
Right.
You're going to butcher something. So. But no, I've always loved classic rock since I started. That's kind of what birthed everything.
Right.
The guitar,
you
know, just me getting my own taste in music, everything, you know.
Right. I was I went and saw Radiohead on Friday when they were in town, and it was great. It was, it's just Radiohead, right? Like,
yeah.
You might as well listen to the album. It's that note perfect, yeah. Right? But before that, I hooked up with a friend of mine, a new bar he's working at, and they had, everyone's out on the patio. So there's like me and two other people inside the restaurant, and they have a band, you know, and nothing is better during patio season than music, live music, or comedy.
Yeah.
Those are the best.
Oh, yeah.
If you want zero people in front of you,
yeah.
Book a show in the summer.
100%.
And I can't remember what those guys were playing when I walked in, but like I went to the washroom and came back, and they were playing Eagles of Death Metal, San Bernardino. I was like, okay, I like you guys now.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah. That band went squirrely, but, you know, the music's still good.
Yeah.
Very weird. Let's talk about Make Me Better.
Okay.
Let's do that. First of all, I will say this. Googling you is a chore.
a couple Christian radio stations.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No one warned me about that. I'm just like, oh, boy, who am I going to be talking to? I better Jesus this chat up. And so, yeah, there's like a whole bunch of, there's KVNE,
yep.
Which is a Christian radio station. So I'm like, okay, I'm not Googling right. I'm obviously not doing this. I'll do KVNE DJ because, you know, I know hip hopsters like to call themselves DJs once in a while.
DJ no, K.
Here's our DJ team on this Christian radio station. I'm like, God damn it. And like, so finally I go, rapper. Okay, there we go. Fine.
Okay.
That's it. So it only took three searches. Only took three. And I could finally find a goddamn song.
That was nice. Charm.
So this track, is it part of a forthcoming album or is it just a single release or what's going on?
Like it's its own single, but it is going to be part of a project.
Mm-hmm.
Something was kind of like, I guess you could say like built around it.
Okay.
But yeah, this is, it's the first thing I've dropped in a while now.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like my rebrand.
Okay.
You know, trying something new, stepping mm-hmm. out from like just being an engineer and everything
right.
else.
Right.
Again, working on that whole branding thing,
mm-hmm.
but, no, it's a love song about a connection,
yeah.
essentially.
Yeah.
And what it could be, you know, cause you never really know until you know.
Right. There. And that's one of the things I really liked about this is like, this is like, I'm not going to say there's a, like, okay, in my catalog, there are not a lot of hip hop songs that, you know, are also love songs. So when I heard this, I was like, oh my God, like this is actually kind of touching. And it's like, right now, every single listener is going, listen to Drake, you asshole. I'm like, so yeah, like I get that, but like, I love seeing like Canadian artists kind of putting a stamp out there. And it's like, it's a lovely song.
Thank you.
It's a lovely little
song. Thank you.
It's just, like lyrically, I'm listening to it going, fuck, like, you know, we've all kind of been in that situation. Like,
yeah.
Like it.
You know, and that's what kind of sparked it because, mm-hmm. it's not actually about me.
Right.
No, it's about two people really close to me. But it was kind of one of those situations where he told me what he was feeling and I just kind of wrote the song.
Right.
And every single thing just kind of like, mm-hmm. there's just a huge connection between, you know, like the words and like anybody who was a part of it, mm-hmm. you know, anybody who came in and they're like listening to me mixing it. They're like, holy fuck. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like, cause everybody's been in love, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And everybody's chances are everybody's loved somebody or
right.
something.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point in time been like, you know, like it's better to leave it what
right.
it is, you
right,
know,
right.
like, you can be in love with somebody and still just be their best friend.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could fuck it up and try to,
yeah.
to be with them.
This strikes me as like one of those, it's going to be an instant connection for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Musically, what was it? Oh, it was the Turn on the Bright Lights album by Interpol.
Okay.
That'll get you through a divorce.
Oh,
let
yeah.
me tell you that. Woo.
Yeah.
You guys sound like Joy Division and are talking about that. Okay.
Yeah, I'm down.
It was the lyric that said, I'll stand by all this drinking if it helps me through these days. I went, oh, you're in my closet.
Yeah.
Like,
jeez.
You guys are so close to me. I adore this. How do you find the Canadian hip hop scene?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Actually, I feel like right now we've got so much awesome shit just mm-hmm. fucking coming from here. You know,
right.
there's so many like great opportunity too.
Mm-hmm.
So much great opportunity too. You know, like everybody is like the internet's the best and the worst thing I think for the music
right.
scene.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes down to like what we were talking about earlier. Like, you can really do a lot for yourself as an independent artist. It's just you've got to want to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So that's what it comes down to, you know. But as far as like the actual content coming out of the country, I think it's awesome. We're at like a top right now, I think, you know.
Yeah. Like, okay, so everyone knows Drake and all those, but like who are your go-tos for like who do you like that's
There's actually a bunch of like I don't listen to a lot of like, I don't want to say like mainstream artists, like big artists. There's an artist from Toronto named Matthew Chaim.
Okay.
I listen to him a lot.
All right.
He's a big inspiration to my music, as far as like both lyrically and like production wise.
Right.
He's very moody and like he's just like, you can tell he's not afraid to say something. You know, and it doesn't matter if his voice just, you know, peaks here or
right.
You know, it's just it's real. Another artist, Anders.
Okay.
He's kind of like an urban artist. He's also from Toronto. There's a girl named Nilo.
Okay.
And she is a singer, and she also does like live production. So she'll sample her voice live.
Okay.
And do like the drum machine stuff live, and like essentially build the beat in front of you.
Okay.
But her voice is just like, something from off this planet.
All right.
It's just insane. But
I am going.
Yeah, those are three artists I definitely recommend checking out.
Have you ever run into Word Burglar?
I have no idea what that is.
So, okay. he is a hip hop artist, but he also focuses a lot of his attention on the nerd community.
Cool.
So like he will rap and do, you know, Mario Kart references. Dope. He will drop like, you know, renting movies at Blockbuster.
Oh,
it's like it's all sort of 80s, 90s, 2000s, like that's sort of where he grew up in. He does a song about Star Wars called Where My At At?
Okay.
And I fell in love with him since then. And so, it's a pleasure to call him a friend now.
That's awesome.
Is the Word Burglar. And check him out for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I think he's got an album coming out this year, so he may be coming out as well. So he may be coming on the show soon. But I adore this track. I look forward to more things coming out of it. Where have you got some tours coming up in the next little while? So
people can go see it? Like in the midst of booking some stuff for the month of August.
Okay, beautiful.
There'll be a bunch of stuff you can follow on my Instagram at @KVNE_official. And you know, there's going to be a lot of stuff. There's going to be some stuff in KW, some stuff out towards Ottawa, some more stuff in Toronto too, obviously. Okay. So yeah, there'll be lots to look forward to.
Make sure that you use KVNE_official and not KVNE_official Christian Rock Radio station.
Yeah.
Very different tour dates.
I'm thinking about doing like a partnership with the Christian radio.
That'll go well.
Yeah. You know, like then, you know, we'll bring back the Oxford Street montage roots.
That you bring the cocaine
to. Yeah.
Too.
We bring the cocaine. That you bring the cocaine too. A couple photos of Jack the Ripper's victims. My mom will come.
That's right.
You know, it's a family thing.
Finally, you're doing something decent.
Yeah. You know, it's a good time.
Right.
It's a party.
Thank you for showing up,
guys. Hey, man. Thanks for having
this
me.
This is absolutely perfect. If instead of the usual music, what we'll do is we'll close out with your song.
Awesome.
Make me better on this.
Great.
That's a production note to my producer who's not in the room.
Hey.
Hey. Hopefully he's listening to that. I'll send him a note. It's fine.
Perfect.
This is fantastic. Thank you. So people, it's KVNE_official.
Yeah.
That's across all brands, like your Twitter, your Instagram.
Yeah, it's just Instagram. Facebook, KVNE Music.
Okay.
We've got a... Website. A mailing list on the website now.
Beautiful.
And it's just KVNE Club.
That's beautiful.
So
awesome.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, hey, speaking of the interwebs and all that sort of thing, you can follow me personally at Hayes TVA. You can follow this very podcast at CATP Podcast. That's right, folks. Cat P. Go to iTunes. You give us a 5-star rating. Give us a 5-star. You know the drill. Listener, listening. You know the drill. 5-star rating. Talk shit about us in the commentary. 5-star rating. Shit about us in the commentary.
Beauty.
That's what they do. The listeners do that, and they're fantastic
it's
at
awesome.
Doing it. It's so great.
You just
it's
love
great.
Them.
Because it sends the weirdest message that people go, 5 stars. They hate this asshole.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Fuck
5
yeah.
stars. Yeah. They did the same thing with my album, Really. I've got like listeners from the podcast who went on to review the album and said, I reviewed it the same way. What a piece of shit. 5 stars.
5 stars. It's like,
beautiful.
It's like, yes.
So yes, you can, your single's out on iTunes now?
iTunes, Spotify, everything.
Yep. You can do the same thing with my album, Really, is out there as well. So make sure you go and buy that. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Kevin, the erstwhile Darcy, and myself, when you listen to Cat P, you're in for a good time. Jimmy, you are always the podcat.
Lately, I find I rush. sky, the spots on my face.